Wired in to the world of sport. This is Sports Overnight on RSN.
John Paul Young, Love is in the Air here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. Scott Cooney with you, and great to have you with us. And take two, great to have the great man in Dan Lonergan, esteemed sports journalist and Australian Open television host, on the line after a big day there at Melbourne Park yet again, which saw all the singles matches in straight sets. As we go to you, good evening to you, Dan. And of course, it didn't look like a straight sets job in the late match, however.
Thomas Berdych was playing really good tennis, and he came into this match probably in, some would say, close to career best form. He'd really been striking the ball well. His performance against Juan Martin Del Potro was flawless a couple of matches ago, and Federer, I didn't think, had played all that well, and particularly in his previous match against the Hungarian qualifier Fuskovic, so I thought he struggled, particularly when returning serve. His serve, as usual, was outstanding, but his serve early in this match was nervy, and being down those two set points, and there was a controversial issue where, and I still don't understand why, with Hawkeye not working, that he lost a challenge, because he challenged it, and in the end, the chair umpire, there wasn't much he could do about actually going through the situation of looking at Hawkeye, because Hawkeye wasn't working, and he lost the challenge. You can't lose a challenge if the technology's not working, and Federer wasn't happy, and he went up to the chair umpire and had a crack at him. I haven't seen Roger have a crack at a chair umpire for a long, long time. In fact, probably since his very early days. But he did admit at the end of the match to Jim Courier that it was a bit of a ploy, a bit of a tactic, because he was obviously trying to fire himself up, Scotty, and also he was very, very angry and frustrated with the way he was playing. And at the end of the day, he said, look, I needed to do that. I knew the call was probably wrong anyway, which is not something that Roger normally does. So at least he was honest in admitting that he needed to fire himself up some way. And it obviously worked, because he got himself back into the set. It went to a tie break. He was far too good in the tie break, and from then on, you just felt that it had broken Berdych's heart, that he couldn't play any better in the first half of that first set. He still couldn't win the set, and he's now won 9 in a row, Federer, against Berdych, and Berdych, out of 10 times they've played in Grand Slam tournaments, has only won twice, and the last time was almost 6 years ago. So you'd have to say that Federer's got Berdych's measure, and he's got a lot of work to do.
Certainly right there, Dan, and that's right as well. It certainly did fire up Roger Federer, down 5-2 in the first set. Obviously was working his way back into that first set when that controversial call came, and did end up taking the first set 7-6 and winning 7-6, 6-3, 6-4. My understanding with the Hawkeye, before we chat a bit more about Berdych there, was that the call was definitely there, was definitely working, but just not on the screen. So he technically was wrong on the challenge, but unfortunately we just couldn't see it there on the big screen there at Melbourne Park, and that probably riled up Roger and quite a few Federer fans a little bit.
Well, I mean, that wasn't explained, though, and it wasn't explained by the commentators, our World League commentators, because they probably didn't have the information in front of them. Mark Petchy and Robbie Cornick are two of the best tennis commentators around the world. They travel the world and do the tennis, do the four majors, of course, and do all the other major tournaments around the world, and they know the sport inside out. And Mark, in particular, has been a coach of a number of good players overseas, and they were shocked that at the end of the day, and I put it on my Facebook page too, as to why Federer lost the challenge. But I wasn't made aware that the Hawkeye information was there for the chair umpire to tell Roger, but because you couldn't see it on the screen. So obviously, as you say, he knew what was going on, the chair umpire from Ireland, but it wasn't made clear, I don't think, to the rest of the public. And Roger really fired up, and the crowd actually got quite unruly. I think they were Roger's song. They always owned Roger's over and loved him. But it was just an interesting situation. And the fact that later on Roger admitted that for the first time in probably a long, long time, he'd used it as a ploy to try and get himself fired up, maybe even get Berdych a little bit unnerved. It was quite interesting, because he's so unflappable generally, isn't he?
Certainly is, Dan, and all's well that ends well for Roger Federer. We're chatting to Dan Lonergan, esteemed sports journalist and Australian Open TV host here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. Before we chat about so much more of the action there, Thomas Burdick, I thought going in, he might have, as you said, Roger had been a little bit iffy, I thought, the last couple of matches, and obviously there Burdick, such a sublime talent, and I tell you what, on form, he might have even been fancying himself, but just the mental side of it, particularly against Roger and late in tournaments, is still a big question mark for the big Czech.
Well, that's right. He just can't get past him, can he? I mean, he even had a chance in Miami the last time they met, and he was actually up, I think, a couple of match points in the third set, and he couldn't close it out. It just seems to be when Roger Federer is there, he must be thinking, I can't beat him no matter how well I play in that first set. He did most things right. Federer did a lot of things wrong early, and his backhand in particular, which is just one of the greatest things you're ever likely to see in sports, Scott. He wasn't working for him, and he missed a couple of shots when he had an open court, when he had a chance to break back early in that set and couldn't do it the first set. And you just thought, well, this wasn't going to be his night. But when he worked his way back into it and won the set, I thought, well, this has broken Burdick's heart. There's no way he'll come back from here, and that's the way it proved at the end of the second set. He needed an injury timeout, a pretty long injury timeout. And then in the third set, Roger was right on top there. I think he might have had his serve broken once. I thought, oh, half a chance for Thomas. But at the end of the day, he was just too solid. The interesting thing was, Scotty, when Federer had his serve broken very early days in his first service game, I think for the rest of the set, he lost 2 points on serve. I mean, it is something that I don't think gets enough credit. His serve gets him out of trouble if he's ever been in trouble in matches. It's a magnificent serve. It's a serve that doesn't require a lot of energy. Most of his game doesn't require that much energy. But when his serve is going, he just is unplayable, and it started to get on top. And in the end, the shots started to go in, and he made a lot of less unforced errors from the first set onwards and was pretty good. I still don't think he's at his best yet. He'll have to play pretty well to beat Chung, who's outstanding. You would think the current killing run will come to an end at some time, Scotty, but Roger Federer still going pretty well. I mean, you'd like to be going like Roger Federer and still think you've got room for improvement without dropping a set in the tournament so far. That's why he's, I think, the greatest player we've ever seen.
Good segue there, Dan, because Chung, what a phenomenon he is, an absolute machine. But whether or not he's ready to beat Federer in a major semi-final is probably something that remains to be seen. And as you said, probably not, but can't wait for Federer and Chung. Of course, Chung the other day knocking off Djokovic, and admittedly tired Djokovic. He looked a bit worse for wear, as I spoke to you about the other day, there in his win over Ramos. Obviously, a limited preparation. Same applies with Nadal, obviously, and both have come a cropper. But Chung getting through a bit of a banana skin against Sandgren, but the aptly named Tennis Sandgren there, you would have thought Chung would win that. But what a mouth-watering semi-final and a huge occasion for Chung coming up in a couple of days' time.
And I reckon he'll wrap it up, Scott. He loves it. I mean, you've seen him when he's on fire and he wants the crowd on his side. He'll be waving them to get behind him. It was interesting, though, when he won the match. He was very understated. He just sort of stood there and thought, wow. And I think he was trying to take it all in. I'm into a semi-final of a Grand Slam tournament. And he was outstanding. Look, Sandgren's had a great tournament, a giant killing run. He had not been able to qualify for any Grand Slams before this one. And he just found a way to get through him. And he beat him Wawrinka, who you mentioned about Djokovic and Nadal being underdone. There's no doubt Wawrinka's been underdone as well, and that was a wonderful win. His win against Dominic Thiem was terrific as well. Thiem has indicated he's still got a fair way to go, like Grigor Dimitrov has as well. He was a bit disappointing, of course, against Carl Edwin yesterday. So, look, I thought Chung was outstanding. He played the big points a bit better than Sandgren. Sandgren kept at it, but you always felt that Chung was going to break him because he just runs all over the court. He's become a terrific defensive player as well as an attacking player in such a short space of time. He's got this unbelievable forehand, and Federer would want to be on his game right from the word go. I'm not saying that Chung's going to beat Federer, and maybe a giant killing run will come to an end, that he might have already played his final against Djokovic and played his final against Sandgren. A bit like Sandgren, I think, had played his final against Thiem and was a bit cooked when he came into the match against Chung. And you'd back Roger every day of the week to win, but it wouldn't surprise me if Chung took a set off him, particularly a tie-breaking set, if he's able to hold serve and he's able to get those ground strokes going and just put Roger on the back foot. But if Roger gets going early, and he didn't get going early, as you mentioned, against Burdick, I dare say it'll be one-way traffic. But it's a great opportunity for him. He's done so well. And I think we've got a future star in our midst. And the fact that Asia is so big, and it's an area that's crying out for tennis stars, he's, I think, going to be a superstar in years to come.
And just a couple more before you go, Dan, really appreciate your time being so generous with it. Dan Lonergan, esteemed sports journalist, Australian Open television host here on Sports Overnight on RSN 927. Federer and Chung to meet in one of the semis with Cilic and Edmund coming up as well, which will be very intriguing, as will the informed Belgian and Elise Mertens and Caroline Wozniacki. On the women's side of things, of course, Kerber and Halep enjoying relatively straightforward victories in their quarterfinals yesterday against Keys and Pliskova, respectively.
Well, I thought Keys was a big chance against Kerber, but she's very disappointing. And again, it just indicated she's got some work to do in the big matches. She was terrific going into the final of the US Open, and she fell apart mentally, and she fell apart also against Angelique Kerber, who, that three-set match she had in the quarterfinals, not that she was out of form, has obviously ensured that she's back to her best form of 2016. And Simona Halep, I think that match against Lauren Davis really got her into form, even though she suffered that injury in the first round. She's been outstanding since. I mean, that was an incredible match because I thought she was in diabolical trouble early. Caroline Pliskova led 3-0 in the first set and then won two more games for the match. So we might have a situation, Scotty, where we've been talking about all those seeds falling by the wayside in the women's draw, but the top two seeds might still play in the final in Caroline Wozniacki, who, as you say, plays Elise Mertens, the unseeded Belgian, in one semi. And then you've got Simona Halep up against Angelique Kerber in the other semi. I think Kerber might beat Halep, but Halep is playing well enough now to really push Angelique Kerber. And I think Wozniacki can beat Mertens. But the only issue there is Mertens is a bit more powerful than Wozniacki. We know that Caroline has struggled over the years against players with a stronger game than hers. But we know she's a great defensive player. So it should be two outstanding semi-finals in the women's later today.
Absolutely, Dan. And, yeah, you mentioned Keys being a bit wayward in some of those big matches. Same applies for Pliskova. The big hitters, they start to get a bit wayward and spraying it everywhere. And the steady way of Kerber and Halep winning the day very much so in those quarterfinals. But do you think Kerber and Federer are nearly over the line on the women's and men's side of things as we let you go?
Oh, I think Federer might be. Cilic will be hoping that he plays better if he makes the final, and Federer makes the final, and he did at Wimbledon. We know he had trouble with his feet, and I think that emotionally he was just so drained, but I think he'd be a lot better prepared. He's had a great tournament. In regard to the women's, I think Kerber can beat Halep, but if Halep can be with her, she's very good at running balls down and can mentally get on top. So we know Angelique's a bit of a front runner, but I think it'll be a Kerber-Wozniacki final. I'd be very surprised if Mertens wins. If she does, it's been a great performance, and she might cause some damage because she'll have nothing to lose, and she'll go in as the underdog in the final. But I think it'll be Wozniacki Kerber, but it should be two outstanding semis anyway, Scotty.
Yep, and if you multi up Kerber into Federer for the women's and men's at tab.com.au, $3.30 there, so multiply that. Good on you, Dan. Great to catch up. Enjoy the rest of the action there at Melbourne Park, and great to hear too. Not a bad diagnosis there for Rafa Nadal.
No, that's good. I thought he was in a bit of trouble, but 3 to 4 weeks, obviously, he looked pretty bad towards the end of his match. And I wonder what would have happened if it had been 1-1, Scotty, and not 2-love, if Cilic hadn't broken him. I think he would have continued going, but I think eventually Cilic was going to get on top there. He looked really bad at the end when he was walking to the press conference, but I think a 3 to 4 week injury just needs a bit of a break. If you're off Indian Wells, away he goes again. But you just wonder what that style of tennis does to his body. I mean, I don't think he can play year in, year out and play every single clay court tournament like he did last year. I think he'll need to pick and choose to make sure he's cherry ripe for his favourite tournament, the French Open, again.